Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Go. The Bible talks about every issue. And I know that some of you are already married. But you need to know anyway, because one day you have to give advice to your kids. And even you know about single, you understand about single. But many principles about single apply to you as married couple as well. So whatever the Word of God say, it's good for all of you. Amen. So today we talk about single, and we're going to continue this series for a while. Maybe come up off and on. I may not teach every Sunday, but it will come up, and so that people understand about singlehood. There is a good question. Can I be a single and at the same time satisfied? Can I be unmarried and happy at the same time? How many people know the answer? The lesson today that I will teach you, only one-fourth or one-third of the lesson. I cannot preach the whole thing, because the Lord told me that I should not rush my sermon like 10 years ago. 10 years ago, when I preached a sermon, I tried to finish 13 pages in 1 hour. Because I want to finish my sermon, and now God convicted me that it's not about finishing my paper or my writing, but it's about my people getting it, getting the message, taking the message home. So that's why my preaching style is changed to be a little bit slower, but try to nail you down that you get the point home. Amen. So I change my style of preaching now. God really convict me. Today we want to talk about single and still satisfied. You can be single and satisfied with being single. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love your word. We believe that the word of God is sweeter than honey. It gives us success, gives us strength, purifies us to make us strong. It's the weapon that we can use against the enemy, because Jesus Christ said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Father, we want to know your word, and we can quote your word, and we know that the word of God will set us free. Your truth set us free, and we want to be free indeed. We ask for the anointing today to speak to all of us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let me say it this way. You may be concerned that if you are single and you are not happy, I want to say this. It is better to be unhappy as a single than to be unhappy as a married couple. How many people agree with me? But if you are single, you are not happy because of some problem in your life, at least you handle that and there's only one problem in you. But if you are married, you're going to have a double whammy, two problems. So it's better to be unhappy. But I'm not talking about unhappiness here. I want you to be happy. Amen. So, remember this. Singles are not second-class citizens. You are still valuable and precious in the eyes of God. God wants you to be satisfied. God wants you to be successful. God wants you to be happy and joyful. Even though you are single. You don't need to be miserable single. You can be a happy single. I can see the tension between singlehood and marriage. Every time I look at this situation as a pastor, I look at it, I see it like looking at the window screen during the summertime. When you turn on the light, some bugs want to come in, some flies want to come into the house, on the screen, want to get in. And I can see some fly inside the house, want to get out, want to get out of the house. So I can see that all the time in giving counseling to people, that some marriage couple, I want to get out. And some single people, I want to get in. And I hope that you are not those flies. You don't have to be miserable, want to get out or want to get in. I want you to be a happy single, and I want you to be a happy married couple. You can be either way. You can be satisfied in both ways. A lot of people want to have an exchange program out of marriage into single. Amen. So, as single, I want to tell you, stop coping, but start living. Don't cope, but live your life. Amen. Hallelujah. When I start this introduction, many of you say like this, "Oh, Pastor, you don't understand me. I don't want to listen to you because you are not expert of being single anymore. You have been married for many years. So you are not an expert about singlehood. Oh, get out of here, Pastor. I don't want to listen to you. You don't understand me. You don't understand my frustration. You don't understand my problems. You don't understand my loneliness." I agree. I don't understand your loneliness. I don't understand your problems. I don't understand your frustration. I agree with you. And I'm not an expert of being single. Because if I become an expert, my wife is going to give me a hard time. I'm not a single. I'm a married man. But there's one person that is expert in single. And his name is Jesus. Jesus never got married. And Jesus spoke to Apostle Paul about being single. So we're going to look through the scripture when Paul wrote about marriage and single. Jesus Christ is a single expert. So when I talk about single, I don't mean only the 18 years old girl who never been married. I'm talking about also people who got divorced and still single. I'm talking also about those who are widows, those whose spouse have passed away and are single. We're talking about anyone who's single, whether whatever background they have. And we're going to look at how we can enjoy our singlehood. And we understand biblical principle behind this issue. The first thing I want to say right now from the scripture, if you want to be a single and satisfied, number one, you need to wait on the Lord. Everyone say, wait on the Lord. This principle does not sound very deep at all. Some of you will say right now, Pastor, thank you so much. Let's get to the second one. Second principle. I know about wait on the Lord. I know that a lot of you have been waiting. But I want to tell you, it's different between waiting and waiting on the Lord. Waiting means this. I mark on the calendar and say, God, that day, if I don't get married, I'm mad at you. I set the calendar that at 26 years old, I need to get married. That is waiting. But waiting on the Lord is this, is to allow God to have His freedom to make a way out of nowhere for you at His timing. That means wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. I know that some sermon you like to hear. Some sermon, oh, I love it. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. But I know that some sermon doesn't tickle your ear. Some sermon you don't like to hear. I'm sorry. I need to teach the word of God whether you like to hear it or not. Amen. So today I'm going to preach the truth whether you like to hear or not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Apostle Paul talked about single and marriage. And I like to read just as a general idea first. In 1 Corinthians 7, 25, verses 7, verses 25 to 28. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. In other words, he said that I'm not going to tell you whether you get married or not get married. Yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in His mercy has been trustworthy. In other words, He said, I'm going to give you wisdom right now. God tell me wisdom. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Wow, he used the word bound, huh? Bound to a wife. Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if you are a virgin, if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. In other words, he tried to say, whether marry or not marry, you are not sinning. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. So, I'm going to expound what Paul tried to say here. It's a very difficult scripture to understand. There's different, very difficult passage. But before we go on, I'd like to read verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible says, brethren, let each one remain with God in that state. Everyone say state. In which he was called. Everyone say called. Okay. Before Paul get into the issue of singlehood or marriage, he start his sentence this way. He say, brethren, let each one remain with God in that state. Whether you are married or you are single, Paul say this way, that you need to know the call of God in your life. Your focus should not be on the situation, changing the situation. Whatever state you are in, the fly want to get out or the fly want to get in. Let's try to change the situation. But Paul said that you need to know what God called you to do, the calling of God. The most important thing in your life is the call of God. My dear brother and sister, a calling has to do with the fact that when God saved you, you enter a whole new direction. You need to find the purpose of God in your life. Once you have a personal relationship with God, you are not the owner of your life anymore. God owns you. He purchased you with high price, the blood of His Son. You belong to God, and God gives you a new direction. So the first thing you want to find out, the first thing you want to be concerned about is not to change your situation from being single into marriage. But the first concern you need to have is to find the purpose of God in your life, no matter what state or status you are in. Before I became a Christian, my goal and my purpose is to be one of the most famous neurosurgeons in whatever country I live in. I want to write many journals. I want to write many articles in the journal. I want to be a professor of prestige university. I want to be a teacher. I want to stand before the class and teach and help young neurosurgeon how to operate. But in 1981, I encountered God. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave me a new direction. He said that you are not going to be a professor. That is your old dream. I give you a new purpose. You're going to be a preacher. My purpose is changed according to what God wants me to do. He gave me a new calling, not a neurosurgeon who teaches in the medical school. But he wants me to preach the word of God. My direction was changed after I met Jesus Christ. I found my purpose of life. That's why I tell you, I'm very happy. I'm very fulfilled because I have found what the Master and the King of all kings wants me to do. And do the same thing. You need to find your calling. You need to find the purpose of God in your life. Many singles are dissatisfied. It's a difficult word for me. Are very unhappy. Why? Because they try to change their status from being single into being married. Instead of trying to find the purpose of God, come from heaven, granted by God, You know, your significance does not depend on your status or whether you are single or married. Your significance is in the calling of God in your life. You need to find what God wants you to do. What is the calling? Some of you may be called to be a businessman to support the gospel and the Great Commission. Amen. Some of you may be called to be a care group leader at this time of your life. Some of you may, God may call you to be a great businessman making a lot of money to support the gospel. Give money to the church, send the pastor to the nations so that he can preach, so that he doesn't have to worry about, you know, feeding his kids and all this stuff. You just support the gospel as a businessman. Some of you may be called to be in the children program. Some of you may be called to get involved in the worship team. Some of you may be called to be involved in writing lesson for the church, for the pastor, or do some research for the pastor. Get into the internet and research for the pastor, because I don't have time to do everything. So you research truth for me from the internet or from the website or from books. People are called and have purposes in a different way. Some of you may be called to be a Christian dentist, who every time people open their mouth, they cannot talk back to you. So you can say, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. And they cannot argue with you because they open their mouth. Amen. So God has calling and purpose. I can see the calling and purpose of my wife so clear. She is walking in the purpose of God for her. And she is very happy. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to tell you what God called her. Ask her yourself. Hallelujah. Your significance depends on the calling of God and fulfilling the purpose of God. A single lady was very frustrated and came to the pastor and asked a question. The pastor answered, I believe that God loves everyone and God prepared a man for a woman, and you cannot improve on that. And the lady said like this, I don't want any improvement. I want to get on it. So that is frustration. Some people are very frustrated with singlehood. They want to get on it as soon as possible. Because you know why? Because their focus is on their status. Their focus is not on the calling of God. And that's why they get frustrated. That's why the first thing you need to do, wait on the Lord. In other words, God tried to say this. If you view your life, whether you're single or married, you need to view it from the standpoint of God's purpose rather than the standpoint of changing your situation. Waiting on God. Waiting on God. Let the purpose of God be done in your life. If you're waiting on a person, you will be disappointed because the person may not show up. I have seen so many people that is willing to be like Esau. They gave up the calling. They gave up the privilege to serve God in a local church. They're willing to give up the file of God, willing to give up the anointing. Oh, this church is too small. We don't have a lot of guys around here. Oh, I'm going to leave this church go to a bigger church so that I can get married soon. They're looking. They go to church to look for a husband. Looking for a wife. Bigger church, more chance. Is that right? I know how people think around here. People leave this church because we're small. Go to a bigger church so that they can find a husband soon. Ha, 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 ha. If God not going to give to you, no matter how big, you're not going to get it. But if God going to give one to you, no matter how small, ha, 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 you're going to get one. Hallelujah. It's not about big church or small church. It's about God's purpose. Amen. Look at Mary Jo. Mary Jo coming to this church when we have only 15 people. Amen. And it sounds impossible. She is the only blonde hair person in the church. The rest are black hair. How is she going to find a husband here? And all of them younger than her. look impossible. But Mary Jo was waiting on God. And ha 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 ha. At the right timing, somebody showed up. And she got the best. And his name is Neil Calkin. You see? If she rushed like a horse, instead of waiting on God and rush on her own thing, go to a bigger church, instead of knowing what God called me to do, she know God called her to support this pastor. She know that God wants her to touch the nation through this church, that we have Latino, we have Japanese, we have Thai, we have Vietnamese, we have all kinds of people here. She know God wanted to touch the nation through this church. She know that even though it's tough to be here from the point of the flesh, but she hang in there. She see that the purpose of God in her life is more important than the flesh, than changing her status. Now God bless her with a good husband. Amen. Do you see example already in our church? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't focus on finding a man or finding a woman. Focusing on finding the calling, and then the man going to show up. And the woman going to show up. And I can explain to you more later on if I have enough time. Look at what the Bible say. If you want to find a mate, you need to go to the right person. And that right person is named Jesus. Capital R-I-G-H-T, capital P-E-R-S-O-N. The right person that you need to hang on, is his name is Jesus. The Bible say, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. You notice that Paul emphasized the word virgins. What does it mean here? I want to apply the principle here. If you want to wait on the Lord, it means you need God's help. Is that right? How many people need God's help? I need God's help. Every time I put my patient on the table to start to cut on, one of my big concerns is lawsuit. Any complication? Oh, I tell you, I depend on God's help every single day of my life. Every time I look at the situation in the church, I need God's help. I need God's help. Every time I look at the situation I face every day, I need God's help. I wait on God. I need God's help. Do you need God's help? Okay. If you need God's help, you need to get right with God. Is that right? If you want God, you want God to be on your side and give grace to you and give you a help, you need to be on God's side. And what you do? As a single, this is a principle, you need to please God. How do you please God? You need to live a pure life. You cannot ask for God's help and live in sin, live in sexual immorality, live in cheating people, lying, cunning, dishonest, all this stuff. If you want God help, you live in that, living that lifestyle of being dishonest, lying, cheating, sexual immorality, cheating woman, dating woman a few months and dump her, all this stuff, you will not get the help of God. In order to get God help, you need to make sure that God is on your side. And how God is on your side, if you make him unhappy all the time. Sin caused the separation between you and God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. Mean that marriage should not have anything to do with adultery. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. You need God's help or you need God's judgment? Which one you choose? If you have the three, one is God's help and one is God's judgment, which one you choose? God's help. How do you get God's help? God's favor. How do you get God's favor? How do you get God's grace and God's power to help you each day? You need to live a life that is pleasing to him. Amen. That's why I don't want to even cheat taxes, even one penny. I told my manager, pay every single penny because I need God's help. If I cheat taxes, I cannot get God's help. If I flirt around, cheat my wife all the time, I cannot get God's help. You understand what I'm talking about? We need to live a pure life. We need to live a life that pleasing to God in order to get the grace of God into our life. The favor. How many people want the favor of God? I want the favor of God. I have the favor of God. Suddenly somebody emailed me, I'm going to interview you in the radio station. Free. Wow. Yeah. So I'm going to go on December 28th to have an interview. And he said, I'm going to ask you who you are, what practice, what is your church, everything to promote you. Amen. And free. That is the favor of God. So, December 28th, 6 to 8 p.m. or something, 6 to 7 p.m. or 6:30, I don't remember the time now. Huh? 6 to 7 p.m. So there will be some kind of teaching, Bible teaching, and interview Dr. Lau. So this is the grace of God, the favor of God. I take it right away. Amen. I changed my on-call schedule to go there. God will judge those who live in immorality. God will judge those who living in sin. So that's why if you're single and you need the grace of God, don't live in sin. Don't live in immorality. Don't flirt around with women. Don't go and pick somebody and then dump. Be serious. Be honest. And don't try to take advantage of women. Don't try to take advantage of anyone. Amen. Don't live a compromised life. And if you live a compromised life and you expect help from God, forget about it. God is not going to give you a favor because you make him unhappy. This is important. It's a relationship. Is that right? Hallelujah. I have to let you know one thing, that one of my children always pleased me. She always pleased me. And do everything. You know, I need the church to go buy for me. I don't have to go buy. So whenever she come and ask for anything, okay la, I give to you la. I speak like a Singaporean now. Okay la. Why? Because she make me happy. The same thing to God. If you want God's help in your singlehood, you need to please God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 26. I suppose therefore that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. What is the next principle here? Why you are waiting on God? Number one, you need to find the purpose of God and the calling of God in your life as a single. Number two, you need to live a pure life. Number three, Paul tried to teach us something here. Paul tried to say this way. Okay, listen carefully. What this statement in verse 26, Paul tried to say, it's good to be single. And it's good to be married. It's okay, both sides. It's good, both. But Paul tried to say, some way, somehow, it's better to be single. Why he said that way at that time? The context of what he say is that in that situation, he used the word because of the present distress. What does it mean? At that time, Christians were persecuted by Nero's rule. Nero was the emperor of Roman Empire. He hated Christians. He was stirred up by a lot of people who hated Christians to kill Christians. So he put the skin, animal skin around Christians, put the blood on, dump in the Colosseum so that animal will kill them because of blood. You know, they can smell the blood and they come and kill all these Christians. They put Christians on the stake or on the pole and burn to give light to his garden. So to be Christian in the time of Paul, 2,000 years ago, was not easy. They faced persecution. They faced death. They faced martyrdom. They were in trouble. So that's why Paul said, if you're single, stay single. Don't get married because you don't want to worry about your wife and your kids. If you're already married, don't change. Just stay there. Stay calm. Don't try to change your status because of the current situation right now. Stay that way. What is the principle here? The principle we learn from Paul here is this. Listen carefully. This is a conclusion. Don't expect marriage to be a better deal for you. Let me repeat one more time. Say with me. Don't expect marriage to be a better deal for me. If you look at your circumstances, whether financial problem, job, house, whatever, emotion, and you think that you get married and you're going to get into a better deal, a better situation, I want to let you know right now is a wrong idea. The motivation to get married should not be that you're going to be in a better situation, a better deal. You get married because God gives you a spouse and you marry for the purpose of God. Because God gives you someone that you love and he loved you or she loved you. And this is the timing that you need to get married because God orchestrated the whole situation. But you don't get married in order to improve your situation. Somebody say, I'm tired of being lonely. But you know, when they get married, they don't want to. Because they don't want to be lonely. But after they move in together for a few months, they rarely talk to each other. I see my dad and my mom. They got married. When they grow up from about 10 years old to 20 years old, they never talk to each other. Did their situation get improved? No. They're still lonely. So marriage doesn't change. It's not a better deal. Sometimes it's worse deal. Because if you live by yourself in the home, you can eat whatever you want. You can cook anytime you want. But after you get married, what happened? You need to cook for him. Oh, yeah. Now the deal may be worse. Because you need to take care of him now. Or you need to take care of her too. It's not only one side. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people want to get a better deal financially. Oh, this man drives Mercedes. Oh, I think he must be rich. After you get married, oh, he has $1 million debt. Now I'm in debt too. Worst deal, not better deal. Be careful. Don't look at the only outside circumstances. Some of people say, I want to solve the problem. I need to have sexual fulfillment. I need to have somebody, warm body, in the blanket with me every night. I need sexual fulfillment. Ha 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 ha. I see so many married couples that barely touch each other for months and years. Maybe during the honeymoon period. But after the honeymoon is over, they barely touch each other because of some reasons. So marriage is not always the answer for sexual fulfillment. Amen. So don't think that marriage gonna give you a better deal. What I mean is, I don't mean that you should not get married. Don't take me wrong, okay? But you get married because God leads you that way, not because you try to struggle. Oh, I need to grab somebody. I'm so frustrated. Oh, you walk around. Okay, I get one now. Oh, I tell you, if you do that way, I warned you that it's not going to be a better deal. Maybe a worse deal. Amen? Look at your circumstances and don't think that marriage will make them better. Verse 27, are you learning something? Don't tell me wrong. I want to be clear right now. I'm not against marriage. Actually, every time I heard that somebody wants to get married, I'm so happy. Every time I heard that man in the church falling in love with that woman in the church. Oh, I tell you, I and Dad look at each other's face and we're so happy to see. We pray for the single in the church all the time. We pray for, not mentioning it. We pray for you all the time because we know that it's okay to get married. Nothing wrong about that. But I want you to have the right perspective about single and marriage. Verse 27, are you bound to a wife? Do you seek to be loose? And are you loose from a wife? do not seek, do not seek to be loose and do not seek a wife. If you're single, the Bible says, don't go around and look for a husband or a wife. Don't go around and try to look for one. You ask, how can I find one then? Pastor, you are not fair. Actually, by the way, I'm not looking. I found her by the grace of God. When I saw her, bing, that's it. I know I marry her. I'm not looking for woman. I'm not looking around. I know, bing, this is it. So I can say this with my conviction because I was not looking around. I was a bookworm. I read the book all the time. Actually, one day I was reading a book in my yard and kind of study. I was a very hard, studious person. That's why I get grade A all the time. And then I was reading and I look up. She caught my eyes. And I know in my heart that day that I will marry this girl. And I've been faithful. We are like a high school sweetheart. So we know each other for a long time. And I never have any other girlfriend. This is it. One girlfriend, one wife, one girlfriend. Amen. I don't have any girlfriends. I did not have and I would not have. Okay. How you ask, I'm not looking. How can I find a wife? I tell you the story in the Bible. One day, Adam was put to sleep under general anesthesia without intubation by God. And then God just pulled out 15 blade knife, scalpel knife, cut open under anesthesia, get the rib out, and make a woman out of his rib. And she become a grown-up woman right away. And you notice that the Bible did not say that Eve complained, God, I'm 25 now. Oh, where is my husband? The Bible never said that Eve complained. The Bible said this way. When Adam woke up, he saw a person who looked different from him. Looked different. He is like this, but she is like this. I mean, people who listen to internet or CD, you need to understand, I make the hand as a woman shape. She looked different. And he said, woman. That's why we call woman, woman. Oh, wow. Wow, man. You know, he was so interested in her. Amen. So, who brought Eve to Adam? God. Who brought Adam to Eve? God. God was a matchmaker. Don't become matchmaker yourself because you can make mistake. Let God become your matchmaker. If you want to find a mate, you need to find somebody, capital S-O-M-E, somebody who knows where your mate is. You need to find somebody, capital S-O-M-E-B-O-D-Y, who know the address of your future spouse. You did not know where she is or he is. If you know, you will find him by now. But he knows. God knows. If you want to find a mate, you need a professional mate finder service. Not the internet. From heaven. Don't try to go find spouse in the internet. It's very risky. Because you may find King Kong. Maybe picture so nice, so handsome in the internet. Oh, this guy look like movie star. But when you live with him, look like a King Kong. So be careful. Let God offer you a service. Mate finder service from heaven. If you try it by yourself, you may not find the right one. Therefore, the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Let God find a mate for you. He become your matchmaker. He is your matchmaker. Don't worry. Don't get frustrated. Amen. Focus on the Lord. Many single are very frustrated because they want to find Mr. Right or Miss Right. Stop looking. Start trusting. Stop looking because you may find the wrong person. But start trusting. Let the mate finder named Jesus and the Holy Spirit find a mate for you. If you trust God, you don't need to be frustrated. It will come at the right time. He is never too late. He never makes mistakes. You know that God never says, oops. God never makes mistake. God never come late. He come at the right time. He know exactly when you need to get married. Not too early, not too late. Amen. You can ask Mary Jo about that. Instead of looking for a mate, this is what you should do. You wait on God and then put up your spiritual antenna. Beep, 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 beep. You listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the wavelength of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen to the Spirit of God all the days of your life. What you need to do. Have the antenna come up. You know, every day in my job, in my family life, everything I do, I listen. I put the antenna up to listen to the Spirit of God. My dear brother and sister, the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. He helps us in every single area, including finding a mate. He helps me in my surgery. In fact, I tell you one story. As I say, I don't want to go too fast. I want to explain to you. On last Monday, I was operating. And it's amazing. This is a true story. I was operating, opened the back of somebody, and the Lord spoke to me already. Be careful, because you're going to have a spinal fluid leak. You know, in the back, you have a covering around the nerve, and there's fluid. It's inside. So if you break the wall, the fluid will leak. And while I start the surgery, I heard the voice of God. My antenna go up all the time. I listen to God all the time. And God spoke to me, you're going to face an issue of spinal fluid leak. And I say, nah, how come? I'm a good surgeon. I rarely face this. I'm very careful. So I put my finger down and used the equipment to scrape at the same time. So my finger will be my guide to know that I will not hit any nerve. So I do that. After I put the retractor in open, the fluid came out. The fluid leak. So he was right. I was wrong. Even though I used my finger to protect them, everything, the fluid leaked, and I began to put my antenna up again. I put the button. Boom. God, what I need to do. Then God told me, put the cotton oil here, stop it for a while, fix this one, and then I said, what next? And he spoke to me. He said, look at this corner, it's just only a small hole, and why it happened. He even told me what happened. So I found a small hole, and he said, what to do? Exactly, and the patient is fine. Everyone say, antenna. Do I say it the right way? Antenna. Okay. I hope I say it right. Antenna. Okay. Do I say it right? Okay, antenna. Everyone say, antenna. Okay. My dear brother and sister, if any person sent by hell to tell you that you don't need the Holy Ghost, you don't need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't need to be filled by the fire of God, that is from hell. Because hell doesn't want you to be filled with the Spirit of God so that you cannot hear the voice of God for your life. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need to press into the Spirit of God. Amen. Don't deny the Spirit. We need the Spirit all the time. Not just when you are dry. I don't need the Spirit only when I dry. I need the Holy Spirit 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't let the hell tell you that you don't need the Holy Spirit. That's from the pits of hell. You need the Holy Spirit for everything. And that's why our church ushered the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Definitely, when the big Spirit of God touch me, my body cannot handle. That's why I check. That's why I fall. That's why I laugh. That's why I have physical manifestation, because the Spirit of God is stronger than me. It's like if right now Steve Judge come and hit me like this. Steve Judge come here. Show me something. Okay, is he bigger than me? Come and hit me. No, mean like this. Just tackle me. You see? And look at what I do to him. He doesn't know. He's bigger than me. The same thing when the Holy Spirit touch you. Somebody have to give. And not normally not the Holy Spirit. It's you. Amen. So that's why. Don't listen to all this stuff. That people criticize the Holy Spirit in the church. We need the Holy Spirit. Put the antenna up. And when you walk around and then boop, the wavelength from the Holy Spirit tell you, that is it. That's going to be your wife. That's going to be your husband. Then you begin the relationship. Amen. Don't begin any relationship unless God show you that is the one. Because we don't want to do a dating game in the church. Every single marriage in the Bible was arranged by God. God is the matchmaker. Listen to God, put the antenna up. God arranged Isaac to meet Rebecca. Put your antenna up. When you tune in your antenna, you don't need to play the dating game. What does it mean, dating game? Dating game is like this. Oh, I'm a handsome man. I'm going to try that woman for 5 months. If it work okay, I take her. If it don't like her, I dump her. And then I go to another woman and I see, oh, this basket is good. I pull up the apple and then squeeze the apple. I don't like 5 months. I throw down. I go to the banana and she look like banana. Squeeze, dump. Or the same thing woman can do to the man. You just date a man for a few months and you just dump him. No, that is a dating game. We don't believe in dating game. You only build relationship when you are serious. And before you become serious, you need to listen to God first. Don't go into relationship without being serious. Amen. Listen to the Holy Ghost matchmaker signal. Holy Ghost matchmaker signal. Look at what happened. Look at what happened to Ruth. Ruth is a good story that we learn. Can I share with you quickly? I know the time is... Oh, I just only go through 4 pages here. I have about 13 pages. Look, Ruth, what happened? I tell you a story. Naomi and Abimelech moved out of Judah because the economy was bad. They moved to Moab. And then their 2 sons marry a woman each. One woman named Orpah. Another woman named Ruth. Then both of them were Moabite women. Okay? And what happened? The husband died, Abimelech died, the 2 sons died, so left with 3 women, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. According to the Jewish law, if these 2 girls follow the mother-in-law to Judah, they will not be able to get married anyone except the closest relative of Naomi. That is the Jewish law. So if they go with her, the chance of remarriage is very dim. Okay? So Naomi told Orpah and Ruth that, go back home, find another husband. You don't need to follow the law of God in our society, the Jehovah. Orpah said, thank you, bye-bye. She left. I don't know what happened to her. But Ruth said like this, I will be wherever you are, and I will serve God that you serve. And I will suffer with you. Wherever you die, I will die. Look at the faithfulness. Look at the heart of loyalty. My dear brother and sister, can I say something to you quickly? This is one of the most important character that you need to have. Loyalty and faithfulness to the person that God put over you. If you can be loyal to a man, you can be loyal to God. And this is some character that is lacking in this generation. I'm going to go wherever I get benefit. I'm not loyal to the man or to the woman that God put over me. Ruth became an ancestor of the line of Jesus Christ. She was a grandmother of Jesse, who is the father of King David. And she was a Gentile. She has a good character. She followed the mother-in-law and she said, I will serve the same God you serve. And you know, it's so impossible to find a husband. But God saw her heart. God saw that she sought God first. She waited on God. And what happened? She met an older man named Boaz. He is older, but he's rich. Some of you may say, oh, you know, wow, I've been waiting. Sound like this is a small church. How can I find a husband? You may be like Ruth. You may find an older man that is richer and help you. So God can do anything. Can you imagine? God kept Boaz for many years. I don't know how old he was. I don't know. I can guess maybe. I don't know. I don't want to mention the number because a lot of people will be mad at me that I say, oh, you say that old? I learned about in the culture in America. I don't want to mention the age here. Okay. He is older, but she met him and he married her. And they both became the ancestors of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear brother and sister, there is nothing hard for God. If you're faithful to the calling, you love God, you just follow God, wait on God, the time is going to come that God is going to give you the best. Amen? Don't rush. Wait on God. Don't go around looking for a man. Don't go around looking for a woman. Just sit tight. Stay calm. Stay trust. And wait for the Lord to move for you. And God is going to give to you the right person. Amen. Verse 28, the last one for today. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. You notice that one thing that God never put down on marriage. God is the one who started the institution of marriage. God never put it down. But God will tell you right now, according to this scripture, that marriage, just be frank, and you know the truth. Marriage, you say, God, I have a lot of problems. I have a lot of troubles. I have a lot of frustration. God wants to tell you up front right now, He's honest to you, that marriage will bring a bunch of different problems. Okay? Just be honest. If Da is alone, she doesn't have to cook for me. She can do whatever she wants. She can go travel. She doesn't have three little girls. I want this, I want that. So different problems. Before Jolina got married, she doesn't have to wake up at 1 a.m. to feed her baby. So you see, marriage also brings different kinds of problem. So you need to understand this. That why we have problem in the marriage? Because of personality conflicts, emotional conflicts, clashes of will and purpose of life. One time, a man said to his wife, oh, look at such a happy couple. And the wife answered, don't be too sad. I believe that they probably say the same thing to us. Because in reality, every married couple has some certain problems that they need to deal with. There is no perfection. Every married couple face different problems. Some husbands like to go to bed early, 8 o'clock. The wife is a late person. Honey, I want to talk to you. Not only that, he snores. I used to sleep by myself. I'm fine now. I listen to every night. Different problem. Some lady, very neat. She take a shower 2 times a day. She will put perfume. She very clean. Her bed is clean. But she marry a man, come in, different personality. He hasn't take a shower for 3 days. He take shower once every 3 days. jump into the bed and sleep, and all the body get all the sweat and everything, and she, I don't know, I have this problem in my marriage. I'm not talking about you. If you are going to be unhappy, better to be unhappy by yourself. It's harder to be unhappy when two sinners live together in the same house. Therefore, single, before you get married, prepare. It's not always a garden with roses. You're going to face bunches of different problems that you need to adjust, and the honeymoon period is going to be gone, and you need to adjust with that. Amen? So I want to warn you ahead. I think it's good to have the right perspective of life. Don't think like a sleeping beauty. What? That lady. Oh, I married this gentleman. He is the prince from a palace. Everything going to be fine. No. Not always. Things going to happen. Problem going to happen. Amen? Because we are human beings. Praise the Lord. How many people learned something today? Everyone say, wait on the Lord. Find my purpose. Living for the calling of God. Living a pure life. Pleasing God. So that I can have help from God. Marriage is not a better deal. My marriage should be orchestrated by the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. By the way, I thank God one thing. I look at all the couples in this room. I'm so happy. And I believe that every couple in this room, your marriage has been orchestrated by God. We never seen any adultery in this church in the past, how many years now? 16 years of this church, we have not seen one adultery here. We have not seen people who commit to this church divorce. We have a lot of happy marriage here. Santi, Mali, Kamani, Paul, Jim Mitchell, happy marriage. Rochelle and Estella, I'm so thankful. I want to thank God that we have such a church that full of people who are very committed to their marriage, and they try to build their marriage. And I want to encourage all the single in this room, wait on God, and God is going to give you the right person. Don't pick the person of your own. Listen, put the antenna up, and listen to God. I want to tell you this one thing. What God gives to you may not be what you want. What God gives to you may not be what you want. You may want a 6 feet high, blonde hair, blue eyes, big nose, rich, millionaire, but God may give you a bald man, 5'2". I just want to let you know that God's plan is higher than your plan. God's way is higher than your way. Amen. And there's nothing wrong to pray specifically what kind of person you're going to marry to. But God's way is different from your way. So listen to the voice of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So whenever next time come up, we will preach the second part. I'm going to preach a lot of this in the next few months about single. This is just the first part. Amen. All the married couple, you are not boys, is that right? You okay? Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this message. We know, Lord, that every single scripture in the Bible is good for our life, not just only certain part that we like to hear, but we welcome every word written in the Bible, Lord. The scriptures are written by God, are inspired by God. Father, we welcome your word into our life today. We believe, Lord, if you want people here to be married, you will provide them a godly spouse. The time will come, Lord, and bless every married couple in this church. Bless them, Lord. Bless every single, that they will find the calling and the purpose of God. Father, I pray, Lord, not even one couple in this church, all the days of our life will be divorced. Not even one couple in this church will have a failed marriage. Everyone will have a happy marriage. Oh, Lord, we bless everyone in this room right now, Lord. You bless them. You put your hands upon them. May your Holy Spirit work in their life. They will have a sensitive antenna to listen to the Spirit of God all the days of their life, Lord. And they will never make mistake because they listen to the Spirit of God. They will make the right choices. They will make the right go the right direction. Lord, may you help them to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. May they become people who love the Holy Spirit and not go against the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. At the end of service, if some of you want to invite Jesus Christ into your life, I will be here to pray with you. Come out in public to tell that God that I am an open Christian. I'm not a secret Christian. You come out here in front of public. Right now, I'd like to pray for Rumiko. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.